It's Friday, so we know that we usually have some very, very interesting discussions. Not necessarily on the tougher topics, sometimes, but we deal with things, our country, our culture, some of what makes us who we are. And today, we're discussing the business of beauty. I promise this will be an interesting discussion. The business of beauty in Trinidad and Tobago. And with us at this point in time, we have in studio beauty industry professional, that is Chelsea Mark. Good morning to you.
Morning. Morning, everyone. Good morning, Trinidad and everywhere else and everyone that's listening.
It's nice to have you with us in studio here this morning. This is a topic. I don't know if I'll be out of my element when it comes to talking about the business of beauty in this country, but we'll find out not too long from now. And we do have joining us as well. Another guest, she's logging on. As soon as we have the audio up and running for her, we will have her on with us as I think we do. Let's see if we can welcome our other guest as well to our program at this point in time. And that is a biochemist, cosmetic chemist, and entrepreneur, Cheryl Bowles. Good morning to you.
Good morning to your listeners. Pleasure to be here with you.
Nice to have both of you with us here this morning. It's a topic that maybe we don't pay enough attention to, but there is a number of opportunities that exist within this field. But as I do with most of my guests, let me give you the opportunity to familiarize the listener with who they're listening to so they can have a greater appreciation for your perspective. Let's start with our guest in studio here this morning. Chelsea Mark, tell us a bit about yourself. Some of what you're involved in.
Well, I
you're going to need to speak up just a little bit so that people can hear you.
Okay. So I'm a makeup artist and I'm also a hairstylist. So I've been in the industry for about 7 years professionally. I work from home and the business has been a journey. I also have a background in marketing and communications. That's my degree. And I utilize that to really push my business and get it on the forefront. And it has been great ever since.
What is your business?
So I do hair and I do makeup professionally.
Right. And let's hear from our other guest, Cheryl Bowles. I was looking at your resume. It is impressive as it is long. Let me give you the opportunity to tell our guests a bit about you and some of what you're involved in.
Good morning to everyone, and good morning, Sastish, and also your my professional compatriot in studio. I'm a biochemist, and about 35, 38 years ago, I was working at Nestle as their chief chemist, head of research development. We were responsible for the launch and development of all the orchard drinks that you drink today. It was a very exciting period. And in during that period, I gained a lot of technical and management skills for which Nestle is well known. During my period there at Nestle, I co-founded a credit union and with some other members of staff, and which had just recently celebrated 40 years. Post Nestle, I always wanted to do something creative in Trinidad and Tobago. And my mother, who was an esthetician hairdresser, said, "Why don't you do a hair food for us in the Caribbean?" That was quite a while ago. She said, "We always have to import." So I created Shamir. I used many of her customers as, I wouldn't say guinea pigs, but to test the product and give me feedback. And from there, one thing led to another. We started with the hair food, which is still the most popular product in the line today. Then we went on to other products in the hair because we manufacture everything. And then after that, I decided, well, many people did not have a reference point if something went wrong with their product, who would they turn to? And so we started the Shamir. At that time, it was in Spa's Skin Institute. And then we morphed into spas. So we have four spas: Trinity Mall, 25 Robertson Street, San Fernando, Mid-Center Mall, Chagones, and also 23 Cipriani Boulevard in Port of Spain. My daughter, who is a PhD in chemical engineering, decided to open two spas, Shamir spas in Canada, to bring the product to Canada. And this is where I am now, because every now and then I come in to give support, training, workshop. And so it's been a very interesting, dynamic journey.
It has. And you've definitely blazed quite a trail. Sometimes this series has allowed us to explore some of what actually comes from Trinidad and Tobago. And we do have some real success stories. Sasha Cosmetics is one of those that shows how much can be achieved by people from Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, he has taken his brand international. You've done the same thing. You've taken your brand from just an idea, a concept, because of a need that somebody expressed to you. You've taken it international. It's now in Canada, from what I understand, and in other parts of the world. And that's really, really commendable. To have this homegrown product all the way across the globe, for want of a different term. I know that you're in many markets. But there is money to be made in business, like related to beauty. We have some stores that have built mega empires out of the field of beauty. Pennywise Cosmetics is a classic example of that. I mean, that man started off with a grocery shopping cart in Chagones, and now you can't talk cosmetics without talking Pennywise. So let's find out what the journey has been like. Chelsea, your business is located in Dago Martin.
Yes, that's
and
correct.
You've worked in the beauty industry for a number of years as a professional makeup artist.
Yes.
So tell us about how you decided to get into this thing. What has the journey been like?
Well, firstly, when I graduated high school, I started working. So my first job was me being a teacher. And my friends, I would always do my makeup. And my friends would be like, oh my God, you could do makeup so well. Do my makeup.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
Yeah.
So I did their makeup just for fun. I used to do my mom's makeup. And then one day I was just like,
how do I turn this into a career?
Exactly. How do I turn this into a career? And at the time, I didn't really believe that it would become a career for me. I was doing it on the side. And I was still working, still going to school. And I got to a point, and this was really during the pandemic, where I said, I really don't know how long I could stay in the corporate world in Trinidad. I don't know if I can do it anymore. And I decided, when my contract ended, to take my business to the next level. Mm-hmm. And I invested and dedicated a lot of time and energy into it. And ever since, it has really grown exponentially. Really grown. So I'm really grateful for the platforms I was given. I utilize social media like crazy, because we live in an age where social media runs the world, and it has worked for me.
Well, that was a real gutsy move.
Yeah.
I don't want to use the term you had a lot of testicular fortitude, but to launch at that point in time when everybody else was shutting down and investing and taking the decision in the midst of COVID, with businesses that were probably well established, closing their doors and sending home their staff and facing a very uncertain future, you decided to do the exact opposite.
Yep.
And you took the chance and you invested, and it's been paying off for you.
Yeah. And it was scary. It was a scary time. I can
just imagine.
However, I would say that my logic or my reason was, it doesn't matter if it's a pandemic, if somebody's sick, a woman. What comes first for a woman is their beauty.
Yeah.
Their looks, their nails, their hair. Exactly. So we could have been somebody could be dying, they'll still want to get their hair done. Somebody could be going through something.
Well, they put makeup on people.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's always an avenue for beauty. That was basically the moral of the story for me, and I made it work for me.
Well, sometimes people have a knack for things.
Exactly.
And I believe that the key to success is figuring out what you're good at. And turning that into not just a form of earning an income, but into a passion.
Exactly.
And you seem to have done exactly that. When it comes to our other guest, the history speaks for itself as to how you've turned what you started off with into the mega enterprise that it is. But tell us about that decision to go from where you were with Nestle and making juice, for want of a different term, to this whole big enterprise into beauty. Tell us about was there a turning point for you? Was it a gradual progression? What happened?
Oh, it was a gradual progression. I had the desire. I guess I became a little restless, and I'm a little adventurous. And I had the desire, even though I was in food, I had no experience in cosmetics. But basically, my degree, my technical knowledge and management gave me a platform on which to launch. And I gave Nestle about a year's advance notice because of the area that I worked in. And my mother, she's passed now, was very helpful in that she knew a lot of people in Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did the hair food, the first one, that's the first product, it was very difficult because Trinidadians are very foreign oriented in terms of choices and preferences of products. Local products were not given the kind of status or platform as foreign products. So we had to work really hard. What I did, I again being adventurous, at that time we only had TTT. I approached TTT, and they used to host a show just between 11:30 and 12 called Young and Restless. And at the end of Young and Restless, I approached them to do a script. I would do a 5-minute feature on hair, skin, natural herbs, because our products are natural. And that was opened up a whole window in terms of knowledge, in terms of a market evaluation, that there were people there who were interested to know more about what we did. And I've always used the media, TV, radio. I still do radio. And of course, the social media platforms now. I have a team of 31 persons who work with me, whom we employ in all different areas. And I think what helped me a lot is having that management platform from Nestle. We were able to put a lot of systems into place so that even if I'm not in the country, the reporting area, reporting is still very strong, and we're on top of things a lot. So that's one of the areas. It's very challenging, but I've enjoyed it. I continue to enjoy it, and I continue to work and create. And I do speaking engagements internationally. And last year, November 2022, I co-authored a family book on our family history. My grandmother, who was a teacher, wrote her memoirs. And then we added on it layers of the journey of our family and the true trials, success and resilience, betrayals. We were able to continue to emerge to basically today, I would say, a successful family in terms of accomplishments. So that has been really very heartening, and to know that the younger generation is interested in continuing.
A question to both of you, but we need to take a couple messages, but when we get back, did you ever think that when you started back then, you would be where you are today. Welcome back. We are speaking still with our special guests, Chelsea Mark, and of course, Cheryl Bowles. Before we went to the break, I was saying to you all that I wanted to get from you, just a couple of minutes before the news, I wanted to get from you whether or not when you started, you thought you'd be where you are. Let's begin with, tell us.
I did not. I had no idea I would be in this position today. Definitely not doing hair. I'd never thought I would be doing hair. I always knew I would be using my hands to some extent, but I actually thought I would be like a marketing mogul, honestly. So, I mean, I am in my, you know, with respect to beauty, I am, I would say. But I really thought I would have been a corporate girl. I thought I would have been a corporate woman, okay. I should say. Yes.
I understand that. Wolf, tell me, when you've started, how many ever years ago did you expect the success that you are experiencing at this point in time?
Actually, no. At that point in time, no. But I guess with the journey, you saw potential. And for me, one of the important things with respect to success of Shamir has been the sustainability, has been the quality of the product, because, you know, Trinidadians are very, very discerning. And if we were not making good products, they would have, let us go a long time ago. What is also interesting about entrepreneurship and taking the advantage, in 1990, late 90s, I was invited. I responded to an email in a little newsletter. There was going to be a first Canadian-American small business conference in Toronto at the Royal York Hotel. And I applied, and surprised to know about, it was just after on Ash Wednesday of that time, I got a call from the White House, and this was the White House in Washington, U.S., extending an invitation for me to come. Up to today, I do not know. It was under President Clinton who invited me. But I went, and it was an amazing experience. And this is one of the things, too, sometimes with the journey, you're never sure how it's going to emerge. Consequently and subsequently, I ended up through the United Nations and UNDP, being invited to conferences in Africa, Switzerland, you know, because of the journey, because of what we have done. So I always tell people, take a risk on yourself, but you have to plan and prepare.
Yeah, definitely a lot of inspiration in what both of you are saying. And we'll continue the conversation just after the 8 o'clock news, because I want to get... I'm sure that it was not all hunky-dory, and it wasn't just a walk in the park, and there must have been challenges and lessons learned along the way. So we'll be getting to that when we get back after the 8 o'clock news. For those of you now joining us, we're discussing the business of beauty in Trinidad and Tobago, speaking with Cheryl Bowles, and also our second guest, Chelsea Mark.
This is the Morning Rumble with Satish Mahabir.
Welcome back. Continuing our discussion for just a bit, the business of beauty and TNT, with our special guest, Cheryl Bowles, and of course we have with us in studio as well, Chelsea Mark. Now, prior to the news, I was saying that we've heard some of your testimonial already, but there must have been, on both sides, both of you, some challenges that you had to navigate, some that you may have been prepared for, others that would have popped up during the course of your journey. Chelsea, let's begin with you. Tell us, you started in a very difficult time. You started during COVID-19, but you've been able to overcome all that confronted you. What are some of the things that you had to face?
Well, the first challenge was, during COVID, we couldn't have any face-to-face interaction. So all beauty professionals weren't allowed to operate. So I had to sit down and put my thinking cap on, and that's when I came up with the idea of doing online classes.
Really?
When they had first opened up, I was allowed to bring people home and have one-on-one classes. But then I said, this is taking a lot of time when I could be taking regular bookings while making passive income. So I looked into it and I came across this platform that other makeup artists use, international makeup artists, and I decided to create an online platform where clients, anyone who's interested basically in learning how to do makeup, even beauty professionals, where they can purchase an online class, which is basically an online tutorial, a step-by-step guide, if you might, if you want to call it that. And it was a fraction of the cost of what they would pay for an in-person class. So I made it more affordable. Again, the pandemic, trying to be as economical as possible and trying to get as much clients as possible. And it worked out. People really enjoyed class. It was very engaging. It was easy to understand, and it was a great idea, I would say. And now it's an avenue where I make passive income and I could still do regular clients while not having to think about teaching somebody, because that could be very taxing. So, yeah.
This would be now on an international scale, because once it's on the internet, anybody can access it anywhere.
Basically.
What has the response been? Is it localized, or have you had persons from abroad or from outside of the country? What's good?
I actually have had persons from outside of the country, and this would have been persons that I would have met during the carnival season, you know, international people from England, from America, from all parts of the world who look for makeup artists when they come for carnival. And I basically have a client. That is basically how I retain my clients. So I have an email list and I sent everything to them via email marketing, and that is really how I got such an amazing turnout when I launched the class, because a lot of people were asking, and again, a lot of them don't live in Trinidad, so it's accessible to anyone, and it worked.
So apart from looking at your video and trying, if they choose to, mm-hmm. I'm assuming that some of these would have turned into actual clients coming to visit your studio.
Yes, it would have turned into that. So from that, I started getting people who actually are from here who would say, you know, I love the online class, but I still want mm-hmm. to have an in-person class with you. I still want to have that experience with you. And I understand that and I get that. So every now and again, I do take in-person classes.
Let's turn our focus on, I suppose, this platform that you're on now is a vast one. And that's testimony to the hard work that you would have put in to build your brand to the point where you are international, you're a presenter, you're sought after business forums and all of these various different things. But there must have been in there some challenges, some hurdles. It would not all have been a walk in the park. Looking back at the years that you've been around and the number of years that you've been in business, what are some of the challenges that you had to confront that stand out to you over the years?
Great question. One, financing. Financing is always very important. Where are you going to get the money to grow? Where are you going to get the money to expand? The other area would be sustainability, because you always have to think forward in terms of, am I creating the product that the consumer will want? And sometimes our preferences are very fickle. So you have to be able to adapt very quickly to the demands of the consumer. A great team, because during the period you would have had a lot of employees, and HR becomes very important in terms of really grooming the right person for our business. And many of our staff have worked with us between 7 and 12, 13 years. So that is very important because of the investment and time you've put into development of people. Some of them go on to do their own business, so that it also spawns new entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial activity for many persons. And ensuring that one, the ability, we are very eco-conscious, and one of the things we continue to work on is really the importance of our carbon footprint and eco-footprint on our country and the world. So those are some of the main things. During the COVID, of course, our type of business, spas, were impacted greatly because we were the first ones to go down and, of course, nearly the last to open. And so that impacted our revenue stream very much. But over the last 2 years since COVID, our customers are coming back. As we emerge from this pandemic, that not only really in terms of devastating lives, but many in terms of livelihood.
Mm. And that sort of information is valuable, as to look at what has happened in the past 2 years, because it gives an idea of, well, where some industries are going. We've had discussions on the program with various business groups, and they've not necessarily painted as rosy a picture for some of their members. There are some people who were not able to survive what COVID brought to them. And for the businesses that were able to, I guess I don't want to say I count yourself as blessed, but you definitely were amongst some of the more fortunate ones. Looking to the future, there are people who might be listening to our program, because we're almost all the time got away from us already. Looking at the future, there may be people listening into us who are saying to themselves, well, wow, I'd like to be in the position that these two women are in. I'd like to find myself somewhere down the line with a business that is known across the world, or I'd like to be in a position where I can interact with so many people in any given day. Let's give them some inspiration. Let's give them some messages, some advice on how they can get to this position. Let's start with our guest in studio, Chelsea. Tell us, for persons listening in who may want to not necessarily follow your trail but blaze their own, what are some of the pieces of advice you'd give to them?
The advice I'll give to them would be, number one, something that the other speaker mentioned, which was planning. Planning is so important. I mean, things happen, but planning is very important. Also, taking a leap of faith. If you like something, do research on it. See if there's if there is an avenue for revenue,
mm-hmm.
and an avenue for you to make profit, and go with it. There are endless opportunities, and we have seen that amidst the coming and leaving of the pandemic. So those are my three things: plan, research, and execute.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. As well, tell us, you've blazed a trail, definitely, in more ways than one. In the corporate world, you were a force to reckon with, and going out on your own, forming your own brand, and we see how that has grown tremendously. For persons who may want to take that leap and get into their own business, what are some of your pieces of advice that you'd give to them?
Okay, great. I use scripture a lot because there are days when you do have very challenging days.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my scriptures that I go to all the time, and then I'll go down the road on all the other objective sort of things, is that it's really a mind game, a head game. And there are days when you feel like you'll be crushed, but you have to rise. And I use one scripture: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And if it is that sometimes an idea or you apply for something, it doesn't happen. You have to be able to be resilient. Beside your ideas, you have to also, as Chelsea said, plan, prepare, look at your skill sets. So if you want to be in the beauty industry, what are you bringing to the table yourself? What are you bringing to the table skill sets? Would you offer something that is in demand? So you have to do your research and then look at a niche market. And one of the things that we do, and this was coming from experts, suppose you say you go into Pennywise and look at the shelves, see the products that are there. If it is, say, you want to do a particular, let's say you want to make a hair food or a hair product, you first look and see how crowded that shelf is. If it's very crowded, it may mean that it may be very challenging to make a niche. If it is not crowded, there is an opportunity for you to, you know, then create something which may have an appeal because it's not very present in the market. So you have to be very aware. I call it on the ground. You have to listen to what people are saying because, you know, things change and their values change, their attitudes change, your response towards products change. And you have to be on top of things. You have to use your social media platform. And you have to do, for instance, we do a lot of incentives all the time to keep our customers engaged. Because we realize that there are many spas all Trinidad, over Trinidad and Tobago, but we want to maintain our space within the genre. So just press on, do your business plan, because if you have to go to any financial institution and you need a financing, you need to have your business plan. So even for me, if there are times, well, okay, I may need support, I will go to the bank and I'm prepared. You must have your accounts. You must have an idea of what stock you have, because stock is money, right? So that they can have a global picture of your situation and where you can go and how they are going to support you. That's very critical.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice. And that's where we dropped the curtains on our interview here this morning. It's interesting getting the insight, the behind the scenes. You know, we often hear people say, well, look, I'm going to get some makeup done, or I'm going to do my hair. And that, but there's a lot that can happen in between. And with the business element of it, providing the products, beauty is something that women have been engaged in since we start tracking things, since we start record keeping. We've seen it all the way from all the years going back to now. And it definitely provides a number of opportunities if you can just figure out and satisfy it. There's a mentorship program that Kama Maharaj runs out of Sasha. And one of the things that they discuss on social media is, what need does your business satisfy? And I think if many people can, people choosing to be in business, people already in business, if they can identify that, what need they satisfy, they're on the road to success. Both of you definitely very, very successful already. I want to thank both of you for being with us here this morning and giving us your insight, allowing us into your worlds, and to see what transpired, the beginning and the journey, and to where you are. All the best to both of you for the future. Thank you once again for being with us here this morning on this edition of our show.
Thank you, Satish.
Thank you so much, Satish.
And thank you, listeners.
After all that, have fun with what you do. Love it.
Yes.
Yes.
Take care.
And that's where we drop the curtains, ladies and gentlemen.